GP, this program should be up and running, and to share with us where this program is running and the beneficiaries of this program. We would really like that there is no confusion for us in particular in presenting of this program, because we talk about incentive program. We would like to hear anything about EPWP, because we'll be calling you to come and tell us on EPWP. We'll know social responsibility implementation, because we'll be calling you to come and tell us on that. The reason why I'm saying that is because according to the national expenditure, this budget or this fund was transferred from DTI in 2012. And having gone through the records, this department said they were planning all this time. Having planned then, how far have you gone with the planning? And how have you gone with the process of implementation? And you are going to implement it in phases. And I'm sure you are also going to tell us which phase is how far. Thank you very much. Maybe some of you do not know the members here. I'm Beatrice Ngobo. I am chairing. Can I ask the members of the portfolio committee to introduce themselves? Then it will be the secretariat thereafter. Over to you, members.
Morning, everyone. My name is Lucizo Makubelo Mashele, a member of the portfolio committee representing the ANC.
Good morning. My name is Patricia Adams, a member of this committee, and I represent the ANC.
Good morning. My name is Fernando Kumasene, a member of the committee also, and representing the ANC.
Good morning. My name is James Force. I'm the DA's national spokesperson on tourism.
Good morning. I'm Andrew Whitfield, also from the Democratic Alliance.
Good morning. I'm Lizzie Easterson, from the Ntata Freedom Party.
Bernard Joseph, representing the EFF on this morning.
And from Parliament, from the committee, we've got the committee secretary. Who are you?
Morning, everybody. My name is Jerry Boltina. I'm the secretary of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. Thank you, Chair.
Morning, I'm Sibusiso Kuzayo, content advisor for the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Pietra. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer for the Director General of Tourism. Morning, everyone. I'm Shama Natu. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer in the Minister's Office.
Good morning. I'm Sindhisa Sikhaso. I'm the executive secretary for the chairperson of this committee.
Is there anyone who has not introduced himself or herself in this room before the department takes over?
Morning, everyone. Ismail Hussain from PNG.
Thank you. Over to you, department.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm going to introduce the people that are coming, my colleagues. On my right is Benny Mayer. Benny Mayer is the Chief Director in the Branch Policy and Knowledge Services. On my left is Kopani Ntatisi. Kopani is the Deputy Director in the very same program.
Secretary, are there any apologies?
Yes, Chair. We have received three apologies from the members of this committee, Chair. The first one is Ms. Sabotovica. She will not be here. The second one from Mr. Kwa will also not be here. Has apologized. And the third one is from Mr. Kosa. He has also apologized as well, but he has sent somebody to represent the EFF community. Thank you, Chair.
Can you introduce yourself, Honorable Member? Honorable.
Oh, sorry. I'm Greg Krumbok, a Democratic Alliance.
Thank you, Development. Can you start on the presentation?
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Morongwa Ramphele, EPG in the Domestic Tourism Branch. We are going to present in this manner, Chairperson. I'll give the introduction in terms of the very program. And Mr. Mayor on my right will give the guiding principles, the lessons learned from the ETI program, and the proposed phases. Maybe to also put it here that in 2011, the ETI transferred a unit which composed of Mr. Benny Mayor and Mr. Kopani and another lady who already left the department to come in as a policy unit for tourism, simply because in the DTI it was felt that they need to be coming over. It was only a unit that was transferred to the department in 2011 November. Kopani will also take us through the stakeholder consultations that we already had in terms of this program, and I'll also take the house through in terms of the minister's approach in terms of the engagement that we already had as early as July this year. The chairperson referred to the program being transferred from DTI. In 2012, the program was stopped in the DTI. It was not transferred to the department. What we did was, as the department, we approached Treasurer to give us the budget so that we can start a new program altogether. What we are starting is not what DTI has been doing. As we speak, DTI is finalizing all those projects that they had before they stopped the program, meaning they'll be dealing with those projects until 2027 because they were committed. 2017. As a standalone department as established in 2009, hence we had to set where are some of our mandates. Hence the transfer of the two gentlemen to the department in terms of the policy. When the DTI suspended their tourism support program, we felt that we are not going to go the process that they did. Mr. Mayor will take us through the lessons learned. Fortunately, the two gentlemen were also part and parcel of the adjudication, so they are in a better position to be able to take us through what are the pitfalls that we shouldn't find ourselves as we move forward with this new program. As a result, we said we need to design and develop and administer a new incentive program which is aligned to the NTSF. As a result, on the slide one, we are trying to emphasize that we are not relaunching the TSP, but we will be starting with a new program altogether. As we started this new program, being a new department, there were no persons attached. Anyway, we didn't have any units. We had to come up with a unit which we were going to be able to deliver on the mandate. Unfortunately, when we pitched the head of that unit, we pitched it to the director level. And for the past since last year, April to now, we're still struggling to get the head of that unit. The first time when we sent out a recruitment advert, we were able to get people who we felt they would be able to help us with the function. Unfortunately, the vetting process took so long. By the time everything was done, when we went back to the person whom we preferred, instead of coming over to the department, she used our offering letter to get a better position where she was stationed, which was the DTI. So we had to come again, start recruiting again. Unfortunately, the same thing happened. The vetting delayed. The person decided to use the letter to get a better offer. We went for headhunting 3 times. The first 2 attempts, the competency assessment said, no, no, we cannot go through that process with the people that we identified. With the third process, we were so happy that we found somebody who would be able to take us through the process. Unfortunately, when the vetting came back in July, end of July, they indicated that it was a negative report, let me put it that way. And realizing that this is a portfolio with a large amount of money, we didn't want to take the risk of putting such a person in that kind of a position. So we are back to square one. But fortunately, the second person, in terms of the vetting, she's in a better position. We're just hoping that she'll be able to take on our offer. Those are the challenges that we found ourselves in terms of resourcing or staffing the unit. In October last year, he offered himself to be laterally transferred on a DD level to this unit. So basically, up till July this year, he was the only person that was manning that unit. On the other hand, he being on the other branch, he also said, because I've been in this process, I'll be able to assist him in terms of conceptualizing the program and everything. Hence, we're able to have the concept program conceptualized, and it was approved in April by the then minister. As we found ourselves in the fifth administration, the minister said that he wants to be comfortable with what was on paper. So we went to the review again, engaged stakeholders so that we are able to be comfortable that, yes, this is what we want to carry into for the next 5 years. I'll be able to indicate at the end the task team that we have come from, which we feel will be able to beef us up as we move forward. I would like Benny to give us those guiding principles and to take us through the actual phases that we are proposing.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Thank you, DDG. I think the slide up there, this talks to the guiding principles of an incentive. And this is based on experience that we picked up when we were at DTI. That an incentive is really something that is typically there to stimulate a desirable economic behavior of a sector or an industry, to encourage development and growth of a very specific product or market, and to address a systematic or a systematic market failure or market challenge. So that is what an incentive is supposed to be. There is a slight difference between an incentive and a support package. So an incentive would be something that puts a carrot there to encourage certain behavior. And in this case, we have an underpinning principle of transformation that we need to drive, which is slightly different from a support package where you subsidize or you support certain developments and you contribute to funding and so on. So that's really the difference. But the very important thing is the principle there, that it must be based on a clear rationale. So there must be a problem that you want to address through, whether it's been a support program or an incentive program. And you must build a strong case why, and that's what we aim to do. It also must be aligned to the mandate, in this case the NDP's mandate, and the strategic objectives in the NTFS, the National Critical Sector Strategy. Specifically, in this case, we will consider those objectives to be transformation, responsible tourism, SME development, growing the sector, and so forth. And then also from the DTI experience, the guidelines and the rules for applicants must be very, very clear. We've learned, and I'll go through the lessons learned before, but it must be very simple and understandable to the applicant, but also to the administrator, so that it's a clear program. And then the impact must be measurable. So that implies that you must have an impact assessment tool right from the start. If you don't do that, and this is what happened with DTI, they tried afterwards to measure impact and they didn't have sufficient phase data. So we will take that principle on board as well. And moving on to the lessons learned, I think since Patiki and myself are in the unfortunate position that we were at the DTI before, and we were involved in the development of the tourism support program. Not in the administration thereof, we weren't part of that, but we were, and as the DDC pointed out, part of the adjudication panel. And then when we came across to the National Department of Tourism as a policy unit, and the DTI stopped the CSP, and the Department of Tourism to address that void approached the National Treasury to ask for assistance to come up with a new program. That's when we got involved again to advise and give our input. And in my own capacity in the research and knowledge management part, we then undertook a research study or a review study of the DTI's program. So we had a lot of consultations with DTI officials and the previous program, the tourism support program, as well as meetings with the DTI in which we asked them about how they administered the program, because we had the concept part, but not necessarily all the challenges in the administration thereof. And we had meetings with the National Treasury in terms of the funding. And some of the key things that came out of there that we should take as lessons for whatever program we come up with, that the objective of the program should be limited to one or two. That is something that happened in the DTI where they tried to address too many things at the same time. And the implication of that is that you have a program that has a very complex application process and a very complex administrative process to try and address all those objectives. So the simpler the objective of the program, the simpler it is to administer, but it's also simpler for the applicant to apply and to get processed. So there's much more impact and less red tape. Then the next point there, the program guidelines, it must be clear and concise. It talks to the same thing. There was some ambiguity in the DTI program's guidelines that caused confusion to the extent where people approached consultants to assist them, which was their prerogative to do, but the DTI made it very clear that they don't endorse any consultants. They don't get paid by the DTI. But if a business felt that it had to get advice, the DTI offered that free. But people chose to go to their accountant or employ a consultant. And that is unfortunate because consultants, with all respect, took advantage of certain elements of that program, and I believe made a lot of money for doing something that was designed that an applicant could fill in themselves. And in the worst cases, you had situations where businesses that were uninformed, especially small and emerging businesses, were approached by consultants, and they solicited business where they implied that there's money available from government, that it's a very complex process and we can assist you with that. And what they then did is they filled in the forms and they asked for an upfront payment and a portion of the rebate when it paid out in later years, which was a problem because it was paying for filling in forms. The consultants didn't have any inroads into DTI, they couldn't influence the process. So I think the use of consultants was a very big problem in that program. So therefore the guidelines should be simple and concise so that any applicant can fill in the forms or apply in their own capacity. In terms of the application claim process, it talks to the same thing. It should be simple, straightforward and easy. I've spoken about the intermediaries or consultants should be avoided. That is not the intention of the fund. The fund is to go to the beneficiaries, not to an intermediary. Those are lessons that we learned. The administrative capacity must be sufficient.
Mr. Mayor, can we have a bit of a volume?
Thanks, Chair. The administrative capacity, that's a very key aspect. The DTI, because of their experience and incentives, they're doing many different incentives from the automotive programs, 12i tax rebates. There's a range of programs in the DTI that's been running for a number of years. And as a result, they have a capacity and an experience that, as the new national department that's only 5 or so years old, never really had. So NDP, National Department of Tourism, didn't have a system. They didn't have a staff unit yet. And that becomes a problem if you launch a new program and you don't have capacity to run it. Because what happened at the DTI, even with their capacity, they ran into backlogs, which caused frustration amongst the market or the applicants because processes are delayed. But having said that, all the CSP and the EIP programs, they had a complement of at least around 30 people that handled applications, and we had none. And we were building a new program. So it was very important for us to start something that we could handle. Because if you start something that you do not have capacity for, the chances that you run into trouble is much bigger, and there's a bigger risk that you won't achieve what you set out to achieve. So we realized that whatever administrative capacity or program we came up with, we had to have an administrative capacity to match that in order to be effective. The turnaround time, to be as short as possible. This is also linked to that. I spoke about the DTI with their backlogs. I think with the earlier programs, the SMEDP and even the CSP, they had backlogs that ran over years. Even now, as the DPD pointed out, the CSP closed in 2012, the application. So they didn't take any more applications since 2012, October. And they are still processing the final payout of those, because that's a program that ran multi-year payouts. It's paid out over 2 or 3 years as a rebate. And that's problematic, because the minute you run into a problem, you have to go back and verify. And then the applicant submits information, and then there's something missing, and it goes back. So that should be avoided at all costs, because it frustrates the process. And in that process, you can actually have businesses that cannot carry they do not have sufficient cash flow or working capital to sustain that delay period, and they can actually go under. So the intention would have been good to start the program, but because of the delays, the business may run into trouble because it can't get, the turnaround time is not sufficient. So in that respect, again, a short turnaround time would have been very useful. The adjudication process must be very efficient and effective, given that it is public funds. There must be no ambiguity there. There must be a very clear terms of reference for any adjudication process. The governance structures within that must be very sound. Because there's public funds involved, there's a risk that it may be misused. So that is a very important point. And then the monitoring program I mentioned should be in place from the start. The idea here would be to, during application already, you collect baseline information, which you can then use to measure impact over time. And then the last point there is the phased approach. This talks to the limited experience that the National Department of Tourism has in administering incentive schemes. So what we learned, and this came also from the DTI, the advice they said, if you start a new program, they start small and build it over time, because you don't have a system, you don't have sufficient human resource capacity. Start something that is simple to administer, and as you get comfortable with the process and you're sure you can handle it, then you build capacity and you strengthen and make the program more complex over time. They also advise that we should be very careful in how we take applications, because if you launch something and you get oversubscribed and you don't have the manpower to process that, you may run into trouble and backlog. So the phased approach there, this slide just illustrates the idea is to start small and build over time, and it's a dynamic process, so it should improve and expand over time. So what we have initially proposed is a market access program. The DTI program covered the supply side, so that pays a rebate for capital investment on a retroactive basis, where people could claim a portion of qualifying capital investment back over a 2 to 3 year period, depending on the nature of the business. It had its own problems. It was over-focused on accommodation. I think when we were at DTI, we were by industry even accused of causing an oversupply in beds, which I don't know if that's really the case, but it happened simultaneously with people building accommodation for the World Cup. There was a recession, so a number of factors caused this oversupply of beds and not people to fill them. So hence the reason for the market access. Now there's a product, but if we can help businesses that have a product fill those beds, that's just the idea here. So we had some ideas about improving the access to market and taking some of that cost from the businesses that was the barrier to get to the markets were always problematic. And then the SRI sustainability support. This is not to be confused with the funding for the EPWP. That is very specific funding from the Public Works Program. But the problem with that is it does not cover any working capital. And many of these projects are good projects. They are bad projects as well, but I think they're good projects that just cannot get going and cannot start because they lack either management capacity or management systems or working capital. So the idea is to assist some of the SRI projects that have potential to get off the ground and going. So that's, but I think the DDG can add to some of that. And then going forward, so the idea was those would be straightforward, simple programs that we can start with a small team and we can manage, and they would have a quick turnaround time and we can get the process going. And then over time, the idea is to start building more complex programs that address specific objectives. And I've noted the energy efficiency and universal access, and that came from the consultations that the DDG would also allude to with the current minister, and that we asked for more consultations. This talks to, or this phase of tailored product development is more geared towards the DTI type of incentive that focuses on capital investment, but not a blanket approach like the DTI's program that covered any capital investment and not, or was only for accommodation. Here, the idea is to do it very specific to achieve a very particular objective. In this case, universal access is an example. Just as an example, South Africa do not efficiently tap into the market for people with disabilities. And it's not because we don't have a product that market is interested in. It is because we have a challenge in accommodating groups. So if you have a group of 20 or 30 people with a disability, whether it's visual or physical or hearing disability, you'll find that they would go to a town and they end up sleeping in 5 or 6 different accommodation facilities because no one of the accommodation facilities can accommodate the entire group of people, which is not ideal. So if we can support investment, capital investment in changing product to accommodate larger groups, then we can tap into that market. And that is a lucrative market. I think there was a study done in our policy unit at the DTI on accessible tourism and the size and the potential of that market, but also the challenges that exist. So that's an example of where you can tailor an investment incentive to a very particular objective in the NTSS and not do a blanket, add more capacity, but you address something very specific. The other thing that the minister noted in his budget work speech as well is resource efficiency, specifically water efficiency, energy, and so on, is something that you can consider for retrofitting for those things. On the next one, the proposed phase one context, and this is the initial ideas that we came up with in project context, is to focus on the SRI sustainability. So again, it's not the capital investment part of SRI, that's covered by EPWP, but this is to do the sustainability mechanisms in terms of working capital management systems and so forth to make those projects feasible and sustainable and to be ready to launch. And then the other would be to the to do the market access support, both international and domestic, to help businesses access the South African domestic traveller as well as international markets. The target groups here would be for the SRI sustainability, the existing and new SRI projects that are very specifically selected, the ones that would be appropriate for that support. I don't think it includes all SRI projects. And then we distinguish between emerging tourism enterprises and established tourism enterprises. Because the type of support that you would need to give is slightly different and the application criteria might be slightly different. We specifically on the market access thing. For example, if you support a business that has not had experience in selling to the market, that is a startup business, and you put them in a situation where they have to deal with large international buyers, they will struggle to get their voice heard. Whereas an established business understands that process, and you can easily support them to do that type of market access. But the smaller, newer businesses, recently established with less experience, you need to approach in a slightly different way. Having said that we will distinguish between established and emerging businesses, the focus for this would be sector transformation. So that would be the underpinning objective here. And how you can ensure that is through the quality criteria and the qualifying criteria. So I'm moving on to that part where you wouldn't be eligible for any support if you're not a registered business, if you don't have your tax affairs in order, if you don't have level 4 or above PE compliance, or if you have sufficient public liability cover. If we support businesses that do not have those things, we will run into serious trouble. But then comes the qualifying criteria, and this scorecard approach is where we can put very, very strict rules. And this is an opportunity where you can develop a program to drive a specific objective. So I mentioned that the focus would be on sector transformation. Here we will probably introduce a point scoring system where businesses that are transformed have a much easier chance to meet that minimum score. Whereas businesses that are not sufficiently transformed or only barely meet the level 4 criteria have to do a number of other things to meet the minimum score. So we can put criteria in place specifically to drive the transformation agenda. And that's how it may not look like from the target groups that we specifically focus on transformation, but we build that throughout any program, which regardless of the program that we come up with, if we make the rules in such a way that it favors transformed businesses, that's how we can drive transformation and not make it available to businesses that are not willing to transform or have transformed. So I just wanted to highlight that. Thank you, members.
Okay, so you've got up until 10:30.
So can you quickly take us through the stakeholder consultations that you have?
Thank you. During the months of April and May 2014, we embarked on a targeted stakeholder engagement with various tourism trade associations just to give an opportunity to interrogate the ideas that we have in terms of the programs for the tourism incentive program. We met with we had one-on-ones actually with the various associations, whereby we took them through the short programs by its eligibility and the nature of support. And we had engagement with your South African Tourism Services Association, your FEDASA, your Tourism Business Council of South Africa.
And out of the whole engagement that we have, there were quite a number of inputs that we received in terms of rolling out the program. And the first one that also came out was that whilst the focus is on market access in the first phase, the market access programs should seek to unlock and stimulate demand in non-core or emerging markets. As you know, that we currently in a dynamic market whereby the other markets that are emerging, we need to start developing opportunities and building relations with the various tourism trade in those markets so that in future we can start harvesting the opportunities that come. And some of the interventions that are outlined there is that maybe we might use the trade mission approach, where you have your dedicated business delegations from the South African supplier side that would target a particular market, for this case, for example, the Nordic markets, whereby you have your trade buyers that are based in the markets, and then they will go and negotiate deals or packages that they could start operating in South Africa. And then the other one was also the use of joint marketing agreements. This is where complementary tourism enterprises come together and negotiate and agree on a package to market to a particular consumer group. And the other one was that possibly in areas where we cannot use the either trade missions or the joint marketing agreements, we can look at the option of using trade exhibitions. Now, the second input that also was received was to distinguish between emerging and established enterprises. As my colleague Benny earlier on indicated that due to the level of development for the various emerging and established tourism enterprises, we need to come up with structured programs so that it can start to speak to the needs of that particular enterprises. And here we tried to look at variations in terms of maybe using turnover and yet in operation as an indicator in terms of the level of development a particular enterprise is at. And then the third one, it also linked to the dynamic of emerging and established enterprises, that the approach that we had in terms of the nature of support is that it would be based on a reinvestment basis, where the enterprise would actually incur a cost or who will apply to the department for a support. The department will then give an in-principle agreement to say, if you go on this particular initiative, we will reimburse you on the cost that you incur. And then the enterprise then will go and incur the cost, and then after the interventions have happened, then we'll initiate from the department. Now the challenge for, or the input that we see, that this approach might be problematic for the emerging enterprises, in terms of reinvestment, in terms of raising the funds actually to undertake a particular intervention. And then the fourth input was the issue around application screening and vetting to ensure that deserving enterprises benefit from the programs that are developed. And this is essentially talking to the development of a sound governance and system management in terms of developing and publishing clear, transparent guidelines in which the targeted beneficiaries could actually interrogate and understand that how do they go about accessing support from the department, what is the application procedure, what are the turnaround times for support, and also the establishment of a credible and representative adjudication committee to actually then award support to the particular enterprises that are applying for the support. And the fifth one was around adopting a broad approach to transformation to ensure that we recognize historically disadvantaged individuals that are maybe owners or shareholders of a particular enterprise, women and community-owned enterprise, and enterprises that are rurally based. My colleague touched upon the development assessment tool that is the balance scorecard that we plan to use as an assessment tool to ensure that we have a point scoring system whereby if you apply, you meet eligibility criteria, and we factor in a number of other indicators that a particular enterprise can score points to actually be in a much more better position to get supported based on if either they are women or community owned, they will get a particular score which would give them a higher score compared to the other applicants currently. And then the sixth one, we were cautioned against double dipping. The idea that there might be possible overlaps with other support programs that are offered by either your National Program Fund, your Small Enterprise Development Agency, Industrial Development Corporation. So there needs to be better coordination between these different institutions to ensure that we eliminate the threat of double dipping. And I think one of the goals was raised in the Minister's consultative session, which my DDG will also touch upon. And the seventh one was, given that transformation will be the foundation for the program, we also need to build systems to guard against fronting in the industry. That's, I think, in summary, all the inputs, the major inputs that we received in the initial stakeholder session that we had. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Out of the minister's engagement, we came up with five task teams. And these task teams were given the task to make sure that whatever that they come up with aligns to the incentives that we are proposing. The first was on the actual incentive program to see what we have on the table, is this really what we want to come up with, which is led by Beni, composed of the private sector and some of the government institutions. Kopani referred to double dipping in terms of beneficiaries accessing funds. In that session, we had NEF, we had DBSA, took us through the Green Fund, the Jobs Fund. We had the Lottery Fund, all the funders that we know that government is having. And we have come up with a forum to coordinate this funding so that when we sit and adjudicate the application, if the application doesn't respond to what we want as NDP, we're able to take it to either NEF or DBSA to assist that person. And we feel that that is it's one of those key things that will help us to move forward and coordinate whatever resources that we have as government. The other task team that came to the fore was the tourism signage. There was an issue that we need to look into tourism signage in totality in the country, and to see how can we make sure that we have something that will enhance whatever that we have as attractions in the country. This task team already was able to put during the MEC last week the work that has been done. Fortunately, this is a process that is being spearheaded by the Department of Transport, but they wanted tourism to come and be part because they have an understanding what's happening. We're able to bring provinces together to understand what's really happening. And there's a lot of disparity in terms of the infrastructure or the institutions that is running this. Some provinces are, for administrative purposes, they want 2,000 rand just to administer the application. So we'll see how can we rationalize as we move forward. And maybe as we incentivize, we can incentivize the enterprises by giving the brown board once they qualify with other processes like the grading and all the rest. The other testing was on the cost of entry. How do we make sure that we are welcoming when tourists come into our country? This is led by Sean, who's the minister's advisor. We also have the one that is dealing with destination product development. And here is where we are saying, as government, we have access. Instead of using the SRI money or the EPWP money to come up with new, rather let's enhance that is already existing so that we can get the best out of it. A good example would be our AIDS World Heritage Fund, where already we have started to see what are the things that we can
can do there. The last one is on skills. We said as much as we do all these things, skills development should be a golden thread that is running through whatever that you will be doing in terms of incentivizing our entities. As we move forward in our APP, we are lagging behind because of some of the challenges that I've already indicated. By this time, we should have done the roadshow in provinces to create awareness. But the issue is we cannot go out and create awareness on something that is not yet totally finalized. But at the same time, we have managed to come up with a draft guideline, the form, the arguments that should be going together with what we are proposing to do. And the M&E, as Benny has been indicating, is something that will have to be done on individual as well as the broad program as a whole, so that we keep a close watch, so that if there's anything that is not going according to plan, we're able to deal with that as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this information, but it seems like the program is still jiving within the department. It hasn't reached any for the purposes of transformation. It's on paper, but there is no implementation. I might be giving a wrong interpretation, but let me open up to the members to interrogate the department. Thank you. Honorable Kumbo, Honorable Adams, Honorable, in that order. After Honorable Adams, in that order, and last Honorable Makubela Mashe.
Thank you, Chair.
Also, we treat it equally before the law. Chair, one specific question and then some general comment. The issue of signage that we spoke of almost at the end, and I see it on that slide as well under future focus, and interaction with the roads department. It's very thin, what we were told, as is much of this presentation. But I would like considerably more information in terms of what exactly is the problem, where is the problem, what is being proposed, what is the level of interaction between DOT and the Department of Transport, where are we going with this, what is the budget, what is the extent of the problem. I've already drawn the Minister's attention to this in my own constituency, which I do, obviously, as we all do, as a constituency MP communicating the community concerns to the various ministers that happen to be in this particular case, so it's my own portfolio in Parliament as well. But the problem is far wider than simply Ngumkilwa District Council. So I'd like a lot more information on that. Generally on the presentation, I think we can be fairly honest with each other without being personal. I'm very disappointed with this presentation. There's no detail. It is vague. I have got no sense about where we've come from nor where we're going to. And I'm used to having serving my second term in this portfolio, I'm used to fairly comprehensive, very detailed and well presented presentations. We haven't had that today. And I don't mean to be honest about that. And it's not meant to be personally directed towards the presenters, but I really think they need to furnish us with a new set of documents which actually spell out in a lot more detail what this very, very truncated pack of documents actually is. Now, just on that, I've never yet seen a document from the Department of Tourism that doesn't have a single figure on it. This is a first for me, 15 years. It doesn't actually tell me what we're talking about, how much money has already gone into this program, what are the figures for the last few years in terms of income and expenditure, what are we proposing, even if it is in the formative gestation phase, that we think we're going to do, and where is the sourcing for that income going to come from. So in the first instance, it needs to be reduced ultimately to a document which has rands and cents in it and budgets, historical and forward-looking, forecast, perhaps in terms of the NTF. We don't have that. It's been alluded to that something went wrong here, and there's a few points about some of the problems that were encountered, lessons from the TSP. But I still don't actually know what actually went wrong. Other than what might have contributed to the failure, I have no details about what the failure actually is. What actually happened? Did the entire program become dysfunctional? Did none of the projects work out? We've been told that the consultants appear to have manipulated the outcomes and have got rich at the expense of the people we're trying to help. But it's remarkable how little detail there is about that. And I really think there needs to be something like a 10-page summary, or maybe slightly less, 6 or 8 pages, spelling out exactly, over a period of time, what went wrong and the reasons for that particular failure. I really don't think this committee, which is a national portfolio committee of Parliament, can engage with a presentation which has so little detail about the reasons for failure. In terms of going forward, again, there's a lot of sort of fairly fluffy principles which we can all sign on to, but very little actual detail that we can grasp. It doesn't say to me how much we want to put into this, precisely what we're going to do. And without practical examples about what exactly the mandate of this particular program is, and who we're helping, where we're helping, how we're helping them, and how long we're helping them for, and in what criteria would be applicable for that particular system, that again is impossible to engage with it with the presentation. So I think going forward as well, we need a whole new presentation, not necessarily before the committee, but at least the paperwork from this particular sub-program to tell us those details. So my proposal, Chairperson, and obviously we want to hear what the other members of the committee say, but I would hope that at the end of our interaction, we can take a decision on the committee to actually ask the department, and this particular section of the department, to furnish us a lot more documents, far more extensive, spelling out at least some of the things that I think we need to know. Lastly, Chair, I'm not entirely sure exactly what this program is. It seems as if it is the same program that was presented to us here about 3.5 years ago. And if so, I'm going to be very disappointed, because at the time the Democratic Alliance said this cannot work, it's too vague. The people who are presenting are not exactly sure what they're going to be doing. The criteria for receiving the money is eminently conducive for manipulation and possible misappropriation. And if in fact it's the same part we're looking at, because that also was a tourism incentive program which made grants available to small businesses to start. If that's the same program we're talking about, then everything we warned against then has now come to pass. And I would just ask if that's the case, and even if it's not the case, that we actually apply solid business principles to help people grow and not throw out money willy-nilly on a feel-good exercise which has led, apparently, to at least partly is the reason for the collapse in this program.
Jonathan, I want to speak in Afrikaans. Ek is teleurgesteld. I'm disappointed in the presentation. You know, all of us would like to see this tourism incentive program. I personally saw it as something that would help our transformation agenda. And I'm sorry to say, main presenter, I'm really, really disappointed. That's why I want to speak in Afrikaans. I'm a little bit emotional also. If I do understand you correctly, this program was shifted from DTI in 2012 to the National Department of Tourism without funds. Is that correct? Without funds. Let me go on, you can
new
ask
program.
Me afterwards.
New program.
They stopped the program?
Sorry.
all the questions of them answer at the end.
Yeah, Chairperson, sorry for not addressing you. If there were funds rolled over to tourism, how much was that? Because we got the impression that it was 100 million rand. And since 2012, if that is a scenario, was that fund ring-fenced? Or was it used to do this work that I alluded to in slide number 8, establishing working groups or that? The other thing is, Chairperson, they said they engaged with Treasury to do what? What came out of their engagement with Treasury? Because it's not here, and we as a portfolio committee should know that. Then the third thing I want to ask, Chairperson, they have drawn some lessons from the TSB. My impression of this engagement with this unit or subunit is there was a number of processes for the establishment of the unit and to get the head of the unit. And they, according to what they told us, they advertised 3 times and they were still unsuccessful or relatively unsuccessful. We had 2 officials from GTI that came over to tourism. Why couldn't they use these 2 officials as they had some erfaren of establishing units? Why couldn't they have been these 2 gentlemen to do exploratory work go on? Because I get the impression nothing was done. And I get it from the fact that they say proposed TIP phase in programs, proposed phase 1 concept. Chairperson, I get the impression we have not started yet. And there's an expression in Afrikaans that I will not use. It's around terpentine, but I will not use it, because I'm an honorary member. Chairperson, the third member, the gentleman in the blue shirt, he gave us something. It's not on paper. I want something on paper. We invited you almost 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. You had enough time to prepare for us. And I'm sorry, Chairperson, to say, it's almost as if this is a fruitless expenditure. Because they're not well prepared. We didn't get this thing yesterday for the first time, the write-off. And really, incentive program, I see as a program to enhance transformation. Transformation in this sector, Jefferson, that there isn't enough transformation. And I'd like the presenters to spell out to us what they understand in with the term transformation. Because the sense I get from it, if I don't understand the English, the sense I get from it is that they want to help already established businesses. And the last question. And I'm not a negative person, Jeff. They have established 5 working groups, and I think they must say it's six working groups. How would they like to enhance ports of entry? I wish more details, flesh to it. And the last presenter talked about the skills development. That's very, very important. And how would they go about the skills development, and how would they reach especially the rural people? Thank you very much, Chairperson, for enduring me. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by welcoming the report, even if indeed the very last presentation, I also could not trace it here in this report that we have in front of us. The one that was delivered by Mr. Thokane, we can't find it in here. Maybe we are unable to trace it, I don't know. They indicated that the DTI is going to continue with the projects that they are presently dealing with until 2017. And what will happen after 2017 with those particular projects that are being assisted presently by DTI? The other issue is the one which is about the consultants, which you have already indicated that you realize that they reap this project a lot of money, which is true. But what plans do we have to ensure that this doesn't happen in the future? Because for us to keep this type of things, we definitely need enough manpower to do so, so that the people down there are able to be workshopped, so that they know exactly how they complete those forms that will be requested to do so. It does even happen with the lottery money. I realize that you also indicated something about lottery. Even with the lottery money, there are people who go around assisting all the establishments to complete the forms, and they take a certain percentage from the money that is going to be allocated to them. And that is a bit of a problem which needs to be regulated. The other one is about the entry of this very same project. Someone has already touched on it, to say it seems we want to only assist those who have already, you know, taken off the craft. What about those that want to enter this very system? Because if we talk about those who are less than 3 years and already having a turnover of 2 million, it means these people are already up and running. What about those that want to get into this? How are we going to assist them? Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry, Chairperson. The issue of vetting also, it was really also disappointing to realize that we take a long time before we can appoint. Well, what is the problem here, and how can we keep it as the department? Because it seems we take a long time. Who does this vetting? Why does it take such a long time? Can't we have a way of shortening the whole thing there?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to echo all the previous speakers' sentiment around the presentation content. But allow me also then to make a few general comments and then to conclude with an example. Clearly the department needs to review the implementation and the methodology regarding the SRI projects to ensure accountability, efficiency and value for money. Ultimately that's what we would like to achieve through the SRI project and also now the Tourism Incentive Program. Because if we're really serious about delivering a high-quality product outside of your urban areas, then we need to take this program very seriously. because we've made the point that in your major cities, you are very fortunate to have all of these strategic assets located. But what is now required through this program is to do product development in the rural areas where we need to bolster tourism to ultimately create jobs. And therefore, the DA is somewhat disappointed in the content of the presentation, because we would have liked to see today exactly what it is that the social responsibility implementation and also now the tourism incentive program really means for that product development in rural areas, because a turnaround strategy is required, and also there needs to be a clear directive that SRI projects should create sustainable jobs, skills development in those rural areas. Now, this morning's presentation lacks the detail. It gives us the mythology to some degree, but it really lacks the detail, and it's therefore important for us as a portfolio committee to receive clear information on exactly what are those funds available that have been allocated for the TIP projects, and where are those existing projects that have been identified, and also new projects. So, you know, ultimately it comes down to how we intend to grow leadership in this particular sector through the funding of these schemes. So we need to get clear directives in this regard so that we can make a meaningful contribution as a portfolio committee in terms of where these funds should be going and ultimately how it is spent, and then the decision around who gets the funding and how it is in fact then implemented until project delivery comes about. Now, I've done some research on this, Madam Chair. Now, there's a village in the Free State near Tobanshu called the Baruleng Buseleku Cultural Village. Now, it seems to be there was about 6.3 million rand budgeted for this project. This project, however, is non-operational, and the project implementer is being investigated, and all processes have currently come to standstill. So there are projects on the ground that are not at all bringing value for money to those communities, which is ultimately the reason behind this program. And then on the other hand, there's a working project in KZN, the Zweli Bush Lodge, which is a great example of working partnerships in terms of the partnerships that have been created in that particular area to bring about a project that speaks to transformation, that speaks to rural tourism development and everything else that we are all in agreement about. So, you know, I had to do this research myself to find out where are those existing projects, where are the ones that have completely failed, where are the ones that we are at least seeing some benefits from. So, Madam Chair, we are disappointed. Yes, it's been said already, but I think a real rethink is required if we want to see value for money in terms of the tourism incentive program, because that's ultimately what we need to do. Now, if we talk about those five working groups, all of those actually speaks to what it is that tourism incentive programs need to deliver on. Tourism signage has been mentioned. Your big stumbling block is, in fact, the implementation. We can come up with the greatest ideas at the national level, what the signage should look like, what it should depict the names or the different places it should direct tourists to, where it should be placed. But if you do not have the capacity at municipal level and at provincial level to do that, then it's always going to be a working group and never a real action group where we can see the benefits on the ground. The enhancement of ports of entry has been mentioned. There we should talk about the new terminal for the cruise liners in Cape Town, the one in Durban. Those are the two major ports of entry, and if we say enhancements of ports, then we should be saying what it is that we want to put on the ground there, because there is a value chain. If you have those, there's a big benefit in cruise tourism, and South Africa needs to see how to benefit of that implementation, because there's a value chain that really can enhance tourism in those cities, but further afield. So there's really a lot of work to be done, Madam Chair, but we want to see at the next meeting, or at least a report, to tell us where are those projects, which has been funded, which are the ones that's working, what are the reasons for the ones that are not working, because this this shocking state of affairs that so much money has been put into an area and those people or that particular community are not getting the benefit because we have not put in proper mechanisms and checks and balances to make sure that we get value for our money. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to run the risk of repeating everything that's already been said. I want to focus on one specific example. I've got a letter from the National Department of Tourism to a beneficiary of an SRI program where they received funding and then subsequently received a letter that says, and I quote, thank you for the work that you've done. I, however, regret to inform you that the department will no longer be funding this particular program as it is reviewing the implementation of its youth programs. That was in on the 29th of the 4th, 2013. It was from Ambassador Makubela, and it was signed by Ms. Matlakala. This particular organization is a hospitality training initiative for young South Africans, predominantly young black South Africans. So the transformation issue is very much at play, as well as assisting our youth to gain access to employment. And why I say gain access to employment is because it's not just about training, it's actually a feeding scheme into employment. So they've actually had about 4,000 people come through their doors and have had approximately 70% success rate in creating meaningful employment or finding meaningful employment for those participants. Now, that's a success story. So for them to have gone now over a year in the grey, they're sort of sitting in limbo, they're not sure whether that funding is going to be available, where it's going to come from, but they're being endorsed by every single province. Every single province has said this is a great idea, we'd love to do it, and then there are reports from within the department that, you know, that funding is just simply not available and sorry, you're going to have to source the funding elsewhere. So that particular beneficiary or that particular program can now only afford to support fewer and fewer people because the funding is obviously not available. So I'd like to know specifically, and I can forward that letter, and I will forward that letter with information so that we can maybe take that issue forward, but I'd like to know specifically around youth development and training and whether the hospitality sector, specifically the training in the hospitality sector, provided that it does produce jobs or create jobs like this program, is on the agenda for this particular group of people. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've also been covered with most of the speakers. I've just actually written in numbers that we haven't heard. On the Tourism Development Funding Forum, I was concerned to hear some of the rural projects, the sustainability of employment. Global warming has affected, especially in KwaZulu-Natal, some of the wildlife, bird sanctuaries and stuff. And I would have liked to see some of these mentions. So I can just say that we hope to get another presentation from this panel at another time and a more comprehensive one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think these officials have a very difficult task, especially the setting up of a branch within the government department. Now, looking or listening to the presentation that you have given this morning, I was trying to understand, and sympathy didn't happen, your action plan of setting up, can I call it a branch, can I call it a department, or section within the department? Do you have an action plan in terms of when certain issues should take place in terms of the setting up? I have heard during the presentation that your chief director indicated that he will assist with this new section in terms of the setting up of it, meaning that it's not his focus, meaning that he's also other focus areas. Now, how will you be able to create that synergy in terms of setting the setting up and then the coordination? There was an issue that was raised in terms of why doesn't the deity be allowed to manage the process. But I know in terms of government processes, it's a very difficult decision in terms of expectation even going into the labor law processes. So, and then there was the issue in terms of the vetting. I know it's outside of your department in terms of the vetting process. But noting the concerns that you have had up until now, what did your department do in terms of interacting with the responsible government department to fast-track the vetting process? Because it is clear it is hampering service delivery from your side. Now, looking at those areas, there's only two questions that I would also like to ask in terms of your presentation. The one is, in terms of the selection criteria for awarding this tourism incentive program, were you able to finalize it? Is it finalized? And or when do you intend finalizing the incentive program? The other question that I would like to pose is, how will the tourism incentive program facilitate new entrants into the tourism industry? And I've noted this morning that you are using a word that I should get used to in terms of utilizing. It's the emerging tourism enterprises. And most of the new, if I can put it like that, the black, and if I refer to black, colored Indians, Africans into the market. How do you assist these new entrants into the tourism industry? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me follow my colleagues who have said this presentation does not give us much to engage with. I want to understand and say, understand your frustration, DDG, of establishing a unit. And I must say, you were honest from the onset that it has been a process whereby you had personnel transferred from DTI, meaning you didn't have your own human resource or human capital in the Department of Tourism. But I must, however, say, given the lessons that the personnel they are taking or coming from DTI, there is an indication that providing or rolling out this program is not as easy as we would think or simple. But because there are lessons learned from the DTI, I would think we would take all of those into cognizance when we are putting together the concept or the strategy on how we are going to roll out this tourism incentive program. I want to make a request through you, Honorable Chairperson, that this section within the department comes to us with a clear strategy or a concept before anything is done. Because from what I get here is something that has not started, something that has not picked up, something that is still in the conceptualization process within the department. So for us not to go the other route of wasting money
or fiscal dumping or rushing into implementing this program, I would want to make a request or suggestion that this program be put on hold, a clear strategy be given to us as the portfolio committee so that we understand exactly how addressing this problem will assist the beneficiaries. Because if I understand it clearly, the incentive, as the gentleman has presented, said that it's about addressing a problem within the industry. And much manipulation has been done in the lessons from the from DTI. And also, I would want to believe that people would not just go out and hire consultants if it was as easy as you put it out to be, as simply just filling in a form and handing it in there. I would believe people went to hire consultants because it was difficult. The processes were not as easy as A, B, C, and D. But the lessons that I see you are bringing forth are simplifying the process so that those that seek this incentive do not have to actually go out and hire consultants to do their work. Someone also mentioned the issue of fronting, which is not here, but we just took note that any system is open at times to manipulation when there are people who think they can just do other things. But for us to actually curb and take away all these, I would want to appeal and request that DDG, you go back to the drawing board. And going back to the drawing board means you are going to put in place a process that seeks to address a problem, but that is clear and understandable, and that would give us the understanding that those that get the incentive will be those that really do deserve it in terms of your criteria that you would put forward. And also the issue of popularizing this program and communicating this program. Because this presentation just talks about talking to stakeholders. Now, stakeholders can be very vague. I mean, it can at times not even target the very same audience that we want to assist in the program. And through you, Chairperson, I want to make a plea. I don't even want to engage in much of what has just been written here because you do not get a clear picture of where we are. Where we are heading. The only picture that I got from this was that DTI had initiated the program. It had its own fair share of challenges, and we are learning from those challenges. But from us here, we do not know where we are yet. We are just on the stages where we are conceptualizing this. We are also still trying to bring in a personnel into the section. So really we have not started. So my plea would be just for us to bear with this new section within your component DDG, to go back to the drawing board and then come back to us with something that has much flesh, something that we can consume and see where we are heading to.
Thank you, honorable members, and thanks for your presentation also. And honorable members, I must thank you for being very honest, because from the very beginning of the presentation, it was not clear what was actually being given to us, and it became very problematic. It seems that the department has got this program on paper and not be on paper. And they've done roadshows. What roadshows? Where roadshows? What about? Who were the stakeholders? Who were the people that for whom roadshows were being done. And we did not even know where those roadshows were done. As Honorable Combrick had said, information is very scanty. Much as we don't want a 50-slide presentation, but this is very scanty, and then it's quite a problem. You've got a concept document. I think in all NS honorable members, let's have a look at that concept document so that we begin to understand what is it that you had in mind. Maybe it could be emailed to the secretary so that the members can look at the concept document, and also to the content advisor so that he would be able to decipher whatever is in that content document. Next month, October, we'll be dealing with budget review recommendation report. And you want more funding to be given to the department. But with this incentive program funding sitting there in the department, I'm saying sitting because we do not get a tangible program that it is addressing. How can we ask for more funding to be given to the department? Because there is this program which is just diving or swimming within a big sea or a big stage. So it's quite problematic. Go back to the drawing board. We call you, and then you come and tell us where are you intending taking the country to? Maybe it's also important to write a letter to the DG to assist your unit if there's a problem. Or to ask the DG to come along with you to give us what the intention of the program was meant to be. Because for now we're just as lost and we're just as blank as when we came to this meeting. So I would not even request that you respond because we'll be going right around the vicious sector. We really would like to see something tangible, something that we can tell South Africans, something that will bring about transformation. Because if this program is left as it is, or is left as what you tell us it is for now, then it's not moving and there will be no transformation. It will be just not even business as usual. It will be we have not started. So on that note, honorable members, I think we would allow the directorate to go back to the drawing board, come back and tell us exactly what this program is intended to be. Much as there were some transfers from DTI, we are not dealing with DTI. We are dealing with tourism. You should have dealt with DTI and came to a conclusion. Then when you come to us, you just tell us, this is just what happened with DTI, but you've taken over the program. You've been interested in what? Because in your strat plan, an amount of funding was transferred over from DTI to NDT. So your negotiations are coming right now. This is not the time for negotiating. It's the time for action, as far as the committee is concerned. This is a most crucial committee because it is one of the pillars that would improve the GDP of the country, improve the economy, create jobs, some of them good jobs, some of them that will still need portability. So this department has got a very major role to play in South Africa, to change the lives of South Africans. So we appreciate you having come here, but you haven't told us much. So
go back to the drawing board, come back to tell us much. But we would like to see your concept document so that we've got an idea of where are you coming from. On that happy note, honorable members, I think we should release the people from the department. Honorable.
Chair, I don't have a problem with what you propose. I think it is good that the presenters do reappear, but I take it for granted that they have been taking careful notes of what all the members from every party have been asking, and all those questions will be answered by implication in the more substantive documents they will table next time in their presentation. Have I understood the wishes of the committee correctly?
Let everybody add, but when everybody has added, we allow the department to be excused.
Not to repeat or to extend the debate any further, but if it is that we ask for the department to present a fresh report giving all of the information that we have requested, I just want to have absolute certainty that my request is on record, that I would like to have a complete overview of the funds allocated for the tourism incentive program, and also to indicate where those projects were and also the new ones that are in the pipeline. I would like to receive a full breakdown of that and also the status of each of those projects. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And the sustainability.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to clarify something, particularly to your suggestion that is raised by Honourable Force. I think the issue of SRI program was just in this presentation as some of the projects that the department will be assisting through the GIP, but it was not necessarily today's presentation about SRI. So I think, therefore, the particular documentation that Honourable Member is referring to is something that we can request, because if I understand, next week the department will be here for SRI projects in particular. So I then think that maybe the particular type of documents that Honourable Member is referring to, then the department can take note of that and come with that next week, other than clouding that together with GIP. So that we have carried in terms of the real issues that the member is asking, but that those issues can be addressed next week. And I think fortunately they fall within the same branch, so maybe they can be able to then, when they come, clarify all those issues. So that we have a clear distinction between the new incentive program they are proposing and SRI, because this is not necessarily about SRI, but SRI just here as part of the proposed program that will be supported through GIP. Yes.
Okay. So as long as we receive the list. Yeah.
On that note, thank you very much for having been able to come. I hope next time you'll give us something with flesh. Oh, Honorable Matthew, sorry.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to add that in the next presentation, they should also include the implementation plan, which would indicate exactly maybe the organogram that they are looking at, how far are they in populating it, by when are they going to be doing this and that, so that we have a clear plan and we are able to check with one another as to whether we are really implementing or be in the position to access whatever that we have in our place. Then.
Thank you very much. I think you've got enough homework for next time. And we hope with the SRI program we'll get something that will be quite meaningful, that will be well presented
that will have no coughs and hiccups. Thank you.
Do you recall also what?
This is the first time in 15 years I've ever seen a presenting team sent to where they're asking for answers from. Actually,
it's
true. No, but you've got to do a job. It's not about the person. It's not about the individual. It's about the person.
Mm.
We have to do this because otherwise they won't come back and pay us money. If they're not good enough, they're not staying. They're not sitting in. They're not getting it. No one's going to get fired for this. They're going to get fired for this. They're going to get fired for this. Can't unring a bell. I'm very happy to see that. We need a study group to join. It's in the new program.
Honorable members, honorable all of us,
honorable PMG.
This was one of the most disappointing presentations. Within the past 12-14 weeks, some of us are in this this portfolio committee have received. And I'm sure it was worse with Honorable K, because he's been with the committee from time immemorial. Immemorial for this committee.
Sure.
And I hope we're going to get something better. And I think it is wise that if they come next time, because it's the same group that will be coming, we'll also ask the DG to come with them. So that at least we begin to understand what are they trying to say to us. Saying. And what are they trying to do? Yes, this room is hot. What are they trying to do? How are they going to help South Africa to transform as tourism is concerned? So we need all that information. And Jerry, we have to write to the DG like yesterday so that he gets ready to come. And if he can't, to bring another somebody who can give us adequate information on this one. But having said that, let us look at our minutes for the previous meeting. Honorable members, I'm sorry. I am told you only got this yesterday, which was a bit of an advantage. And I'm sure that the disadvantage was brought about by these people saying that they're still adding something on their document. So the intention was to give members everything at the latest on Wednesday. But we're waiting for that information until it was sent yesterday morning. Hence we got the minutes late, because we felt it's important to give all the information at the same time so that people just go through them rather than getting the information in dribs and drabs. If those minutes have not been read, can we read them? Because we've got at least the advantage of time.
Mm-hmm.
there are people who haven't read them or haven't finished reading them, we'll wait for 5 minutes, then we go over them.
Chairperson, may I make a request to the Secretariat that it should be standard practice that our documents are just not only made hard copies and delivered, they should also be made soft copies and electronically emailed to us. It's not the standard practice with this Secretariat, and it is my second plea that I make to the Secretariat. And I would request that it is noted and practiced.
I hope everybody has had the request. And I don't see any reason why it can't be done. It's cheaper electronically, actually.
But the quality of your outcomes, not the quantity. You don't have to use a statement if you
see
ours.
Are some people still reading? Can we go through the minutes, please?
Very good.
Agreed?
Let
me go through the minutes.
Yeah, okay. And I'm looking for the process. I'm good. I'm actually making progress.
Page one. And now page three. Honour Bouquet.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's the very last bullet point on page three. I'm not sure that minute really captures the essence of the deliberation, and it certainly doesn't capture the response by the presenter who represented private industry. Honourable Whitfield will bear me out because he was there. But essentially what the presenter said was that we were moving deliberately, or inexorably perhaps is a better word, towards the scrapping of a grading fee, whereby DOT would pick up that cost. So you would have to be graded, but you wouldn't be charged for that privilege, which would solve the problem of the very high attrition rates of people who are graded and then after a few years decided there wasn't any benefit in remaining graded and paying the fee. Because actually, as the committee agreed, we wanted people to be graded, but we had to find a way of getting business to actually undergo that process. So that point, I think, really might have been said as a peripheral part of that discussion, but the main thrust of that discussion was that the question was raised about whether the grading fee shouldn't be free, and the answer from the TG, was Tourism Grading Council, TGC, was that they were moving towards a no-fee grading system. I think that is what should be captured in the minute.
Chairperson, I would suggest that what the Honourable is saying should be an addition to this, because this point was thrown in there and discussed. But what then happened is that the presenter was saying that, you know, we need to look at various options and see how we advance the discussion around grading, which would be compulsory, but at the same time the fees be affected elsewhere. So if you can maybe put to the secretariat what you said in addition to this.
Yeah, that was a response from the Jersey Grading Council. Thank you. Point three, Roman letter five, says surviving a small tourism business. I've stayed over many B&Bs and I'm still alive. I'm not sure that's exactly what it's meant. I think it's more survival of a small tourism business. It's not the users that have to survive, it's the business.
That is noted.
This was a discussion point, and you had a panel that were talking about surviving. So this was taken in the context of what was discussed. So the topic was as such because they were members of small businesses and discussing how they are surviving as small. So I understand maybe in terms of reporting, but in terms of what happened in that disaster conference, there were members who were saying we were surviving this, and the topic was as recorded here. So I understand the, maybe as a reporter at moment, but in terms of the topic, even in the conference, it was such.
Yeah.
Sure.
We really should not be debating this. I'm not disagreeing with what was just been said, but it's not about the survival of the person who uses the small business. It's about the small business surviving. So he and I are not disagreeing with each other, but that's not what the minutes actually said. The grammar indicates it's the traveller that goes into a B&B that may not survive. Yeah, read what it says. So it needs to say survival of, okay, a small tourism business. And that is exactly what we're both saying, is how do these small tourism businesses survive? Not the visitors or the travellers that have to live in them or eat their breakfast. It's just a grammatical thing. It shouldn't be a point of debate.
Point taken. Thank you.
Any more? Any more on that page?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. The last page.
That's it as a man.
Nothing to add.
I'm quite
done. I can just do matters arising or following up. The MOU between South Africa and Saudi Arabia has been 86. This coming week we're writing a letter to the WIPRI to ask to have it presented for adoption. That is one. Number two, for the invitation at UNISA, Honorable Makubela Bashel was not able to attend because she happened to be writing on that day. And this was just from 8:30 to 12:30. So it wouldn't have meant much for somebody to travel to that place for only 3 hours and back. So that is why we just decided on somebody who's coming from that side. But she has reported that she had to come rushing to write her exam. So nobody went. And actually, some invitations come a bit late when we're not able to really entertain them. But let me also say, in the coming year, 2015, that might give us a better time to be able to even go to these places that we've been speaking about, so that we begin to understand, starting from here in Cape Town, because we're based here all the time. We can spend a weekend in Cape Town, go to whatever area, get all the information that we need. Then we'll be moving to other places. But Cape Town is, we're all situated here. What next? I think I've said what I'm supposed to say. Can somebody propose adoption of the minutes? Honorable Masihele, Honorable K, I assume one is proposed and the other is adopted.
Thanks, Chair. I want to take this opportunity to propose for the adoption of this minutes with additions made and also corrections made. Thank you.
Honorable K has seconded the adoption. And then on that, to have a hand up.
Yes, Madam Chair. I would just like to, with your permission, just to congratulate the government of Zambia. They've made an announcement yesterday that they will be introducing electronic visas for tourists. So I would just like to congratulate the government of Zambia for taking that bold step to assist with tourist facilitation to their country via the introduction of the new electronic visas. I do hope that our government will follow suit, because Zambia is part of the SADC country, so is South Africa. But I note that the Minister of Tourism yesterday at the e-tourism summit did speak in favour of electronic visa. So we do hope that the Department of Home Affairs will take note of the Ministry of Tourism's comments yesterday in his speech. I hope it's not because it was at the e-tourism summit that the comment was simply made to play the audience, but I do hope that we could also explore the possibility of the introduction of the electronic visas. But anyway, congratulations to Zambia. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you on that. Actually, both ministers are talking. There might be something very positive, especially with the facilitation centers in all the countries where we've got a presence. That's very much in the pipeline. And I think India has also began using e-visas and m-visas. But I hope we'll get there sometime, sooner than later.
Thank you, honourable members, for your active participation and for actually just coming up front and say we are all not happy on this particular presentation. And we are looking forward that we get better information when the same unit comes to give us information on SRI. And I hope the DG will be available. We are going to write a letter to the ministry as soon as come, so that we clarify issues where we have pointed out as being unhappy, because we might also experience more or less what the experience today. It might not be more or less so I'm anticipating the work. But thank you. Enjoy your weekend. And before the sun is back, unfortunately, the community could not attend to any other day.
Try it again.